Well, let's stand together for the reading of God's holy word and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. All right, look there at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. Our verses this morning contain some words of vital importance to every person in this room. You might circle the words grace, faith, the gift of God, and works. But the word that arrests my attention this morning is the sixth word in verse number 8. It's that wonderful little word, saved. Now Jesus used this word in John 3. John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." According to the Lord Jesus, God loved the world. That means He loved all of us. And loved each of us individually. God gave His own Son Jesus to die on an old rugged cross for our sins, so that whosoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life and be saved. That's a wonderful promise. That wonderful word, saved. The word saved means I'm saved from something. When I was a boy, I was saved from drowning by my mother and a man on the beach. I got hooked. Someone had cut off a fishing hook or something, and it was floating in the water, and I reached in and grabbed it and hooked myself to the bottom of the ocean. And I remember I was being pulled. You know, the waves were crashing into my face, and I was just with my mother, and she began to go crazy. And there was one man on the beach, and he was way off about 100 yards away, and he came down with a pair of pliers and cut the lead and got me free. I was saved from drowning. Amen? It sure felt good to be saved from harm. But you know, when I'm saved by Jesus, I'm not saved just from getting hit by a car, or being saved from a burning house, or saved from being drowned in a swimming pool, but I'm saved from an eternity in hell. I'm saved to live forever in heaven with Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing to know that you've been saved. Now, Jesus put a line right down the middle of the universe and put everyone on one side or the other of that line in John 3:18. When he that said, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." And so every person in the world is either on one side or the other. They either believe in Jesus and they have everlasting life, or they don't believe in Jesus and they are already condemned and on their way to an everlasting hell. Now, I want to ask you this morning, before we go any further in the message, on which side of that line are you? Are you on the line of those who've been saved, or are you on the side of those who have not yet been saved? The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto men once to die. Hey, I got news for you this morning. You may not like to think about it, but all of us are going to die one day. And the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, I read about a sheriff in the Appalachian Mountains. He was a county sheriff whose wife was a born-again Christian, attended church, and he was a non-believer. His wife would beg him to come to church with her, and he wouldn't do it. He said, "I'm a good person. I wear the badge. I'm a moral man. I don't need church. I don't need religion. I don't need new birth. That's for criminals. That's for bad people. I don't need that sort of thing." One day he grew deathly ill, was actually on his deathbed, and the preacher came by to visit with him. And the sheriff said to the preacher, "Don't worry about me, parson. I'm not afraid to die." The pastor said to him, "You may not be afraid to die, but what about the judgment?" And the sheriff was quiet for a second. He said, "My goodness, I've never thought of that. I've never thought of that." Now, the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of people in this world that are not cowards. They're not afraid to die. At least they think they're not. What about after death? What about the judgment to come? You see, there's going to come a time when every one of us has to stand before God. And if we're not saved, we have to stand before Him in every sin we've ever committed, every idle thought, every idle word, every wicked thing we've done or even wanted to do, we brought out for judgment and brought out before the eyes of the God of the universe. Listen, boys and girls, just because your parents don't know about it doesn't mean God doesn't know about it. And just because you weren't caught doing it doesn't mean that God didn't see it. And it's good for us adults also to remember that after death comes judgment. And if you're not saved, every sin you've ever committed in your mind, heart, or indeed will be brought out and laid out for the whole world to see. And most importantly, God Himself will see your sins and you'll be found guilty, you'll be condemned already, and you'll be cast into hell. That's why that word saved is such a wonderful word. Because I'm saved from that. And my sins have been forgiven. On the day of judgment, when every skeleton is brought out of the closet and every sin that has been forgotten will be remembered, on that day, that little word saved is going to mean more than anything in the whole wide world. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace is God's gift to us. We are not saved by our religious works. We are saved only by the grace of God. There are no religious works that you can do that will secure your salvation. You can get baptized and every church in town won't save your soul. You can go to confirmation, communion, community outreach, and help on Thanksgiving serving the homeless, give to the angel tree at Christmas time, and still die and go to hell because religious works and acts of charity don't save our soul. The only way we're saved is by the grace of God that saves us without our merit, without us deserving one bit of His grace. Saved is what I wanted to be, and saved is what I am. When I was 15 years old, I heard the gospel for the first time, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so that wonderful word saved is now applied to my life. But has there been a time when you were genuinely saved, born again, saved by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now this morning, I want to describe to you the anatomy of saving faith. The anatomy of saving faith. Listen for a few minutes as we discuss this. Number one, faith is the ear that hears the gospel message. Faith is the ear that hears the gospel message. Romans 10:14 says, "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" The Bible says, "Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Listen, folks, that's why the Bible commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The reason that I'm preaching to you this morning, boys and girls and adults, the reason I'm trying to share with you the gospel is because if you'll listen to it, that's the first step towards being saved. You cannot be saved if you will not even listen to the gospel message. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." But first, we must hear the words of Jesus. We must hear the gospel of salvation. Revelation 3, Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And Mark 4, Jesus said, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." In Luke 9, Jesus said, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears." Here's what happens sometimes to us. We sit in church and we're kind of there and we're kind of listening, but it's just kind of going in one ear and out the other. And I realize for some of you, there's not much in there to block it. But Jesus said, "Let these things I'm saying, let them sink into your ears. Let them get into your mind. Really pay attention to what Jesus said. Let it sink into your ears so that it gets into your mind and then down into your heart." But I've been preaching here for 15 years, and I tell you that there have been people that have sat in these pews that have sat and listened to every word, and they've been serious about listening. And there have been others of every age group who have sat in these pews, and for the 25 or 30 minutes that I've been preaching, they've been looking at their phone, they've been goofing off with their friends, they've been spaced out counting the lights in the ceiling, and they've just been biding their time to get out of prison. Out of the church service. And guess what? The Word of God does not do you any good if you won't even listen to what the Bible says. Faith is the ear that hears. And so the first part of the anatomy of faith is an ear that listens to what God has to say. Listen, nothing else matters half as much in your life as what God has said about your soul. And so faith listens. You must listen to what the Word of God says. Number two, faith is the eye that sees Jesus crucified. Faith is the eye that sees Jesus crucified. When we listen to the gospel message, the Holy Spirit of God begins to present to us the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something. I have never seen Jesus in person. Anyone here ever seen Jesus in person? If so, you're lying. No one in this room has seen Jesus in person. But I have seen Jesus with the eyes of faith. Because this Bible tells me about Jesus Christ. And when I began to listen with the ear of faith and began to hear what the Bible said about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God began to show me Jesus, whom I cannot see with my naked eyes. He began to show me Jesus by faith. The Bible says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Faith sees Jesus as He's revealed in the Word of God. Let me tell you about Jesus this morning. Jesus Christ is God Himself. Before there was anything in the universe, before there was a universe, there was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, made all things. By Him all things were made. And by Him all things consist. And all things are made for Him. He is God Himself. And yet God, when He made Adam and Eve, knew that man would sin. And it was decided before the world was even, before the foundations of the earth were even laid, that Jesus Christ would come as God's only Son and be born into this world and become the sacrifice for our sins. It was decided before God even spoke the world into existence. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. You know, we celebrate at Christmas time. We celebrate at Christmas time the fact that Jesus Christ was born to take away our sins. That He left heaven. Folks, think about that. We spend our whole lives hoping to go to heaven. Jesus was already there, and He left to come down here. Someone said that He left heaven's noonday to come to earth's midnight. Jesus Christ left the throne of glory. He laid aside His robes. He laid aside the crown of the King of Kings. He laid aside His scepter of omnipotence so that He could become incarnate. So that He could become a man. He took upon Himself the nature of mankind. Was born of a virgin named Mary. Let me tell you about Jesus. He was born into poverty. How would you like to go from rich beyond rich to poor beyond poor? Jesus had everything in heaven, left it all to live in poverty on this earth. You know, Jesus spent 33 and a half years on this earth and never did one wrong thing. Never said one wrong word. Never thought one wrong thought. Never took one wrong step. Never committed one wrong deed. Never did one wrong thing in His whole life. He was sinless and perfect. Let me tell you about Jesus. In His ministry, He loved the unlovable. He cared about those that no one cared about. He helped those that no one could help. He cared about those who were sick, diseased, blind, lame, deaf, demon-possessed. Let me tell you about Jesus in His ministry. He fed the hungry. He walked on water. He spoke like no man ever spake. He turned the other cheek to His enemies. He was offered a kingdom. He turned it down. He was tempted like no man has ever been tempted, yet without sin. And at the end of His ministry, you know what Jesus did? He went to Calvary to die as a sacrifice for our sins. As the Lamb of God.
And when they said to him, when Pilate said, "Don't you know that I have power to release you?" Jesus said, "You wouldn't have any power at all except it came from heaven." He said, "I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it back up." What Jesus was saying to us is he was not dying as an accident. He was not being murdered against his will. He was laying down his life as the sacrifice for our sins. Well, let me tell you about Jesus, because 3 days after he died, you know what happened? He rose from the dead. Where's Jesus at today? In heaven. And he's there at the right hand of God the Father. What's he doing? He's saving souls, whoever will call upon him. So faith sees Jesus crucified. Faith sees Jesus as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Faith sees Jesus as the one who victoriously rose from the dead. Faith sees Jesus as the wonderful, sinless, perfect Son of God and the only one that can save us from our sins. Let me tell you something else faith sees. Faith becomes a mirror by which I see myself. See, before I got saved, before I heard what the Bible said, I thought I was a pretty good kid. I wasn't in gangs. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. That was back in the Say No to Drugs, Nancy Reagan era. I don't know about anyone else. It made an impact on me. I saw that egg frying in the pan. I want my brain to fry like that. I didn't do any of that stuff. And I thought, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not going to jail. Do you know what I saw in the Bible? That my righteousnesses were like filthy rags in God's sight. That I was a sinner in the eyes of God. And I realized that, yeah, maybe I wasn't as bad as some in my own eyes, but I was bad enough. And I certainly was bad enough in the eyes of God that I needed to be saved. And I saw that with the eye of faith. So faith is the ear that hears. Faith is the eye that sees. Thirdly, faith is the foot that brings you to Jesus Christ. Jesus invites us to come in Matthew 11. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In John 6, he said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Jesus is always inviting people to come to him for salvation. The Lord gives the invitation. And many did come to Christ during his ministry. Religious leaders, publicans, notorious sinners, everyday businessmen, housewives, children, the fallen, all came to Christ, and not one was ever cast out. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let me ask you, y'all pay attention, boys and girls, listen. Do you believe in God? I would assume that coming to church this morning is a good indication that you're not an atheist. Any atheists in the room? All right, I see two Sunday school teachers, but other than that, just kidding. I would assume that everyone in the room would say, "I believe in God, preacher." And I would say to you that biblically that is the first step towards salvation. You must believe that God is. You must believe that God is. However, just believing that God is not the same as being saved. For James even says that the devils believe in God and they tremble. And certainly we ought to have more faith than devils. Not just not acknowledging God's existence. But Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And so I must believe that he is, but I must also come to Jesus Christ as my personal Savior to ever come into God's presence to be saved. So if we believe that there's a God, and we want to know this God, and we want to be with this God forever in heaven, then why not come to him? Why not come to him? I've talked to many who were not atheists. They were not even agnostics. They said they believed in God. They even believe the Bible is the Word of God. They said to me that they knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and they even acknowledged that He died for their sins. But when I put them on the spot and said, "Wouldn't you like to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now?" Many of them have said, "No." No. Now, if you believe in God and know that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead, and you have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, to come to Him and trust Him as your personal Savior, why say no? Why not seize that opportunity? How terrible to burn in hell when you knew in your head and you knew in your heart that there was a God and that He sent His Son for your sins and that you could have been saved, but you, at the moment of decision, your feet would not come to Christ. See, faith is the foot that steps out and brings you to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior. Sometimes it's our pride. Well, I don't need to get saved like convicts in prison. I'm better than that. Or maybe it's some sin in our life. Well, I'm so involved in this that I can't have God in my life and stay involved in this sin. But I'll tell you something, there's nothing worth going to hell over. Nothing worth going to hell over. And Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." So there's the ear that hears. There's the eye that sees. There's the foot that steps towards Jesus. Number four, faith is the heart that believes upon Christ. The Bible says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." We come to Jesus Christ heart first, not head first. Now, we must understand the gospel. You've got to know some basic facts in your mind, but we're not saved by knowing facts or reciting a catechism. We're saved when we put our personal heart faith in Christ alone as our Savior. The Bible doesn't say with the brain man thinks unto righteousness, but with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. In Acts 8:37, you had Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and there was a divine appointment. God wanted to save that Ethiopian, but He wouldn't save him apart from the gospel. So He had Philip come to meet him, and He presented Jesus to him, and the eunuch got saved. And he said, "Here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And the man, and Philip said to him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." So it was a heart faith. I remember talking to a lady that came to our church for a while. Her name was Beata. She was from Europe. And she came. She rode our Garland bus for several months before they moved away. And that was back when I was driving the bus. And so I witnessed to her several times. And then one day I went by her house and witnessed to her. And she'd heard the gospel several times here. And I tried to explain it. There was a little bit of a language problem, not a whole lot of language problem. And I was trying to explain to her that salvation is not in baptism, it's not in going to church and things like that. And finally it was like a light bulb went off over her head. Her eyes lit up and she said, "I see my problem. I'm not trusting Jesus with all my heart." She wanted Jesus along with all these other things. But it's not Jesus plus all these other things. It's Jesus by Himself that saves us. It's my heart faith in Him. Believing in Him with all my heart is when I get saved. Now, she got baptized here, but baptism didn't save her. It was when she decided to believe in Him with all her heart, plus nothing and minus nothing, that Jesus saved her because of her heart faith. So faith is the ear that hears the gospel message. Faith is the eye that sees Jesus crucified. Faith is the foot that brings a lost person to Jesus. Faith is the heart that believes unto righteousness. And then fifthly, faith is the hand that receives the gift of life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Notice, it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. Now, my daughter, Emily, turns 14 pretty soon. I should know the number because every few days she tells me, "It's my birthday in so many number of days." And I told her that with Beth and Becky, we skipped age 14, didn't have a birthday for that. She says we're going to for her. Now, at some point, her mother and I will go out and buy her a birthday present. It'll be small and cheap. And something she could use, like a toothbrush or something. Nothing that she really wants. Maybe some toothpaste too. And we'll buy her the present. And on her birthday, Mom will probably make a cake. We'll have some candles in it. Blow out the candles, sing happy birthday, and she'll open her present. And when she does so, I'm going to hand her present and say, "Here's your gift. Now pay me $10 and you can have it." Let me ask you. Any little kid in the room today knows that if it's a gift, you don't have to pay for it, right? Am I right? If it's a gift, you don't pay for it. Now, the fact of the matter is I wouldn't do that to her. When I give her the gift, it's hers. I pay for it. Hey, a gift costs something, right? You can't just go steal something and give it as a gift. That's, you're given stolen goods. Someone has to pay for it. God offers us the gift of God is eternal life. It's not free to him. He had to pay for it. How did God pay for the gift of eternal life? He died for our sins. Jesus died for our sins. That paid the price. So now, here's the gift. I just have to receive it. God loves me just like I love my daughter. He's purchased it just like I'll purchase a gift. He offers it just like I'll offer my gift to her. And then you've got to receive it just like Emily will have to receive her gift. Now, what if Emily says, I don't want it? Well, that'd be the first time ever in history that someone turned down a birthday present. But if she said, I don't want it, or I insist on paying for it. I want to pay half of it. And I say, no, the conditions are, it's my gift to you. You either take it and let me pay for it, or you don't get it. No, I'm going to pay for half, or I won't take it at all. Fine, you don't get it. But if you simply take the gift as your gift, then it's yours. And some folks come to God, and God says, here's the gift. I purchased it through Jesus Christ. I offered salvation to you. It's a free gift. Jesus has paid the price. It's my gift of love. Here it is. And people say, well, I insist. I got to pay half of it. No. You either meet my conditions or it's not yours. No, I insist on paying at least half my way to heaven. You can't pay any of your way to heaven. And so you don't take it. Or like many, I've sat down with the Bible and I showed them how to get saved. They get to Romans 10:13. All they got to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Many times they even say they understand, they believe, but they will not accept. And I say, wouldn't you like to trust Jesus right now and call upon Him to be your Savior? No. Well, here's the gift. All you have to do is take it. No, and it's not yours. It's not yours. You see, faith is the hand that reaches out to get to take the gift of life. The Bible says that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. I always like to illustrate it this way when I'm talking to people. Let's pretend that the Bible represents Jesus. Okay? Jesus is the Word, right? Pretend this is a ticket to heaven. It's got the gospel on it. The Bible says eternal life is in His Son. Now, when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I not only got Jesus in my heart, I got eternal life. But His life is only in His Son. It's not in the baptistry. It's not in your good works. It's only in Jesus Christ. So faith is the hand that reaches out to receive the gift. You say, preacher, how do I receive the gift? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever means anybody. And calling upon the name of the Lord, now listen, is not your normal prayers. All of us have prayed sooner or later. We've all prayed a prayer. But calling upon the name of the Lord means that I'm asking Jesus Christ to save my soul. I'm calling upon Him to be my Savior. I'm asking Him. And that is the hand of faith reaching forth to receive the gift of eternal life. Now, I happen to have with me this morning a gift. A gift. Now, let me see who's deserving of a gift today. Let's see. How about this girl right over here? No, the cute one. No, I'm just kidding. Let me just pick her. Julie, you come on up ahead. Come here, Julie. Julie, I'm going to give you a gift. Now, what you didn't just notice was that Julie's sitting over there. She saw the gift. She heard me call her name. She heard the invitation to come. With her feet, she got up, and stepped out, and came over here. What I didn't tell you, Julie, was this is actually $1 million. It's $1 million. Do you believe, Julie, that I would give you $1 million? You don't believe that I'd give you $1 million? You see where Julie's problem is? She has a lack of faith. Step up here, Julie. I promise you, my hand on the Bible. Not that I need my hand on the Bible, because I'm an honest person. I promise you this has $1 million in it. Will you believe me? Okay. You don't sound very convinced. Will you believe that this, if I promise you this has $1 million in it, will you believe me? Okay. If I was God and I said, I have $1 million in here, would you believe me? Okay. Now, by faith, why don't you receive this gift? All right. Now, open it up. See what's in there. What is it? $1 million. See, she should have believed me. $1 million. Now, but the funny, I did that for fun. But you see how she received the gift. Now, stay there. She received the gift. She was sitting over there minding her own business. I called her by name. I said, I have a gift for you. She said, a gift for me? I said, a gift for you. I said, come and get it. She stepped out by faith. She walked up here. She kind of believed. But no, she believed enough to receive it. And she got the gift. And guess what? You get to keep that. You're welcome. And you should be thankful. Now, so that's kind of a simple thing. Well, let me tell you, salvation really is a simple thing. It wasn't simple for Jesus, but it's simple for you. Because where you're sitting, you can hear the call of the gospel. And you can see with your eye Jesus dying for you. And you can hear the Holy Spirit calling you to come and receive His gift. And you've got to believe in your heart that He's going to give it to you. That He'll give you exactly what He promised. And then by faith, you simply receive the gift of eternal life.